future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who with it now?
Yo, 97.5 and 92.5, welcome into the bullpen, but not on a Saturday, not on a Sunday, as Sean, Joe, and myself will be, as Cam damn near died. Cam, we're 30 seconds into the show, you kill your knee, now we hear you rustling around the microphone. We're trying to make an impression. We're at the 97.5 listener party, trying to make an impression on the bigwigs, impression on the fan.
There's sponsors here.
And the sponsors are here. Cam's just, you know, banging his knee into the desk, rustling
I'm
the microphone.
I'm just doing what I do.
Be unprofessional?
No.
Unvarnished.
Wow, this is let's call this show rustic. How about that? Then we can excuse away some of the flaws and blemishes.
That's actually a pretty fun place to go to if y'all haven't been.
Cam, we don't need food snob. We're 1 minute into the show and you're already going food snob on us.
This is the full
I'm very hungry.
Cam experience, yes. As mentioned, Cam Smith, the man banging his knees on the desk, is on Twitter, at Clutch City Cam. I, Brian McDonald, I'm on Twitter, at Site by BMAC, and the most professional amongst us is Sean Mapes. He's on Twitter, at Sean A. Mapes. So, gentlemen, ESPN 97.5 listener party. I haven't done one of these. Cam, have you been to one of these before?
I think I've done one as talent. No, as a producer, and then one as an intern, but way back in 2019.
Way back in 2019, the older days when we didn't know what COVID was.
I literally had someone's key card, and I was standing in the elevator, hitting four, and letting people into the party.
Great, that's what I get to do at 7:30.
Oh, okay, well, I will not downgrade that responsibility. That is I was just about to make fun of Sean, but... Cam, that is a very important responsibility.
You're on the front lines of the party?
Yes, you're on the front lines.
You're basically a bouncer.
I am. Ooh. Joe was like, we need a friendly yet intimidating face downstairs to check people in. I was like,
you know, that's a good call. Friendly yet intimidating.
As you're bouncing, will you be regular Cam, or are you going to be like Irish Cam? Which Cam version of Cam are we going with?
Ooh, that's a good one. I haven't had anything to drink yet, so I'll probably be regular Cam.
How many beers does it take to get the Irish Cam?
Half a beer.
That's it? Lightweight? I thought Irish Cam would be able to put away more than half a beer.
I'm not saying after half a beer I'm drunk. I'm just saying that's all you need for me to get going.
Get this man a beer. We're gonna have Irish Cam before the segment's over. All right, welcome into the bullpen. This is obviously going to be a loose show, shall we say? It's going to be free flowing, not really sticking to the script a whole lot, which I guess is not all that different from a regular bullpen. And again, if you want more bullpen, as I know the Twitchers just love me. You can hear Joe, Sean, and I. We will be on the air on Sunday from 10 to noon, right before the Texans game. We'll be out at Le Bourge in Lake Jack. What's that?
Lake Charles.
Lake Charles. Yeah, not Lake Jackson. Cam's a little. I think he's a little butthurt.
I have to wait until November before I get to go with y'all to Le Bourge.
I'm sorry, Cam. You got any bets you want us to place for you? Can I get it? Here's Sean. It's 6:06. I'm already going to get this in. Is there a bet on Hard Dog and G-Ro I can get down for you?
Oof.
Only got one more.
Actually, that's an enticing matchup.
That's Oof. John Harbaugh.
I actually don't even know what the line is.
Thank you, Sean, for being the interpreter. I will only refer to them as Hard Dog
head
and
coach
G-Ro.
And offensive coordinator for the LA Chargers.
Yeah, buckle up. We're going to get a few more Hard Dog and G-Ro mentioned. The line, by the way, Cam, is Pittsburgh -1.5. I'm actually going to. What, you think that's a bad line?
Yes, I would
Wrong
definitely
team
bet.
Favorite.
Yeah, exactly. I'm definitely betting on the Chargers.
My favorite bet on that game is the under because. I don't like either offense right now, especially if Justin Herbert's banged up. But
he's questionable.
I know the high ankle sprain. I think he plays through it. He played through what, broken ribs like last year.
Yeah.
So I think he's a tough enough guy that he's going to play through it. But I don't know. I mean, if he's a statue back there because he's got a high ankle sprain, you're on the road facing T.J. Watt and company. You know, look out. I don't
the
love that
steel
for the
curtain.
Chargers. Yeah, I don't
are
love
they
that.
Still,
for the
are
Chargers.
They still called that?
No, I think that died in the 90s or when James Harrison maybe was running back touchdowns in the Super Bowl. I don't know.
That was 2009.
2009. Yeah, at least it died by then. That's to me, that's more of a 70s thing, right? Steel Curtain.
70s and 80s. Yeah. I think of Mean Joan Green.
Yeah, I think that's got. I think the video's got to be grainy for you to call it Steel Curtain. Like if the picture's clear at all, you can't call it Steel
Terry
Curtain.
Bradshaw has to have hair for that.
Did you have to watch it on a cassette tape?
I don't think Terry Bradshaw had hair in the 70s. I think he still had the Hulk Hogan
skullet.
Yeah, he still had the Hulk Hogan skullet going on.
He had clear hair.
Clear hair. Interesting. Okay. Wow, this show's off to a great start. So Astros, that's what we're going to talk about today. Is the AOS race over? I mean, I think it is. They're 5 games up. They've got, let's see if I can do the quick math in my head, 9 games to go. They're up 5 on the Mariners. Though the Mariners do have a chance to make up games on the Astros directly when they come into town next week for a 3-game series that starts on, I assume, Tuesday. There's no way to know. I'm not going to look it up. But you guys think the AL West race is over right now?
I think for the most part it's over. I mean, it would be one thing.
What's the qualifier that you say for the most part?
I just mean like the magic mathematically? Number. Mathematically? Yeah, the magic number is still 5. But really, it comes down more to my lack of belief in anything Seattle Mariners related and their, I'll say, buffoonery on the base pass.
Oh my God. The Victor, Cam, did you see this? The Victor Robles stealing home on a 3-0 count?
I did not.
Yeah, yes. So there's bases loaded, 3-0 count, and Victor Robles decides, you know what? This is the time I'm going to steal home. On a 3-0 count with the bases loaded.
Two outs.
Yeah, in the inning, he got thrown out trying to steal home.
In the very next.
Sounds like a White Sox move.
Very much so.
I mean, they lost.
So. Yeah, that's what the White Sox do. They lose. In the very next night, Julio Rodriguez is on third. I don't remember who was batting, but he let go of the bat as he swung. It came towards J-Rod, so he kind of jumped out of the way. He's on third base, and he just kind of like jogs towards his own dugout, and he's taking his time getting back, and the Yankees alertly threw it down to third and tagged him out. They're like, bro, the ball's live.
So, yeah, that's the team that the
Mariners going to Mariner.
That's the team the Astros are competing against in the AL West.
Exactly. Buffoonery, as you said.
Yeah, so that is where the majority of my good feelings about the AL West come from, is the lack of faith. Or, no, the faith I have in the Seattle
in their
Mariners.
Buffoonery? Yes.
Keep losing games.
Cam, where are you at with this?
Well, based off the 2 stories you just told me, that's all I need to know.
It's really hard to be like, give me the Mariners.
But on the real, I think it's over. There's 9 games left, and they're ahead by five?
Yeah,
so 5. I don't. Seattle's not. No, whatever. They're over.
Can we do the classic radio thing? They're pretenders. If this was a discussion of contenders or pretenders.
Pretender.
I mean, technically, Seattle could still make the wild card, even if they. You know what? Okay.
No. That's funny, B-Mac.
Seattle is a group of buffoons. I think we all agree on that. A total clown car of a baseball team. But I will say, I wouldn't want them in a 3-game series if they make the wild cards. Because you look at that pitching staff with Logan Gilbert and Luis Castillo and George Kirby. That's pretty rough. Now, we don't know if the Mariners can score a run.
I was going to say, they've had those three guys all season.
But in a 3-game series,
I get you.
That does make me maybe clench up a little bit, so to speak. A little bit.
I mean, there is a good chance they make the postseason because, what are they? They're just 2 games behind Minnesota?
It's possible.
So, yeah.
2 games with 9 to go?
The Tigers are the real team that's kind of surging
nowhere.
That last wild card spot. And obviously, I think they're tied with Minnesota. You have the standings up. Are they tied with Minnesota?
Yes, they are both 80 and 73.
Yeah, so that's the team where they're just so red hot right now that with, what, less than 10 games left, you got to kind of like their odds there, but
Detroit's 8-2 their last 10. Minnesota's 4-6.
So this whoever makes that last spot, since the Astros are going to be locked into the 3 seed, that 6th team would be their opponent. So we're looking at 99%. I mean, obviously it's not going to be the Orioles. The Royals is, I mean, they're 2 up. I doubt it's going to be the Royals. So you're looking at Twins, Tigers, Mariners. You guys have a preference there? I mean, obviously Tigers, you get the reunion with AJ Hinch on the field in the opposing dugout. Twins you beat last year, including winning two in Minnesota, and then we just mentioned Seattle with their pitching. But any lean there as to who you'd rather the Astros see?
I guess the Twins, just because, like I said, the Tigers are so hot right now. It's not really that I think there's anything better about the Tigers than those other teams. It's just that they're playing the best baseball right now. And like you said, in the 3-game series, if a team's just stupid hot, they could they could steal it. So I just would want to avoid them. So give me the Twins.
Yeah, I'm going to go Twins too, especially since they gave up a lot more runs than Detroit and Seattle does. So I think you can hit them. Plus, I feel like we faced them enough during the season that we kind of know.
Well, Minnesota did win the season series though, 4-2. So.
Yeah,
if that means anything.
But they lost the ALDS last year.
When it mattered.
Yeah, do it in October.
Yeah, frauds. Do it in October. April front runners.
Royce Lewis.
How many Minnesota Twins can we name? Carlos Correa. Ha.
Byron Buxton.
There you go. There's a Minnesota Twin.
Joe Mauer. Johan Santana.
Yeah, Joe Mauer. That checks out.
Torrey Hunter.
Did you say Johan?
Justin Morneau. There we go.
Justin Morneau.
Let's name a Canadian.
Tyler Duffy.
All right, I think this is the time to go to break now. Name a Minnesota
Joe
Twin.
Joe Nathan.
I don't think the VIPs and the bosses really want to hear name a Minnesota Twin right now on ESPN 97.5. So because of that, because we're going to do great radio today, we're going to go to break and get back on the other side with the Houston Texans. If you want to get in on the conversation, please give us a call on the HRMP listener line. Call or text, that is, at 713-780-3776. Houston Texans talk when we get back with the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back into the Bullpen, a special edition on a Friday night, the first Friday night Bullpen we've ever had, because it's the ESPN 97.5 listener party. Cam was telling me in the break there's already 250 people up here, so we got a packed house in our common area. Sean, you look perplexed by that number.
People.
I mean, that's not a big area to fit 250 people in, so it's going to be a popping, as the kids might say.
Oh yeah,
do you like my riz there? I'm just going to keep going.
I've spoken to.
All the food's going to be gone.
AJ and I are like, now we're talking.
I know AJ's like, okay, now I'm feeling what Brian's saying. Before, you guys were tuning me out, but I say popping and riz. Now AJ's locked in. He's
also, I'm like 7 years older than AJ.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, AJ is really. He's bringing the curve down on our age demographics. Yeah. So in a further attempt to bring the kids on board with this segment, we're going to play a little game. Are we stressed? Are we Gucci? Okay. AJ, is that approved? I don't know where we are. Is Gucci still a thing? How old are you, AJ? 22?
Yeah, 22. People still use it.
Okay.
I use it all the time.
Well,
Remember Zong? Zong used to write emails and address me as Gucci.
I like the humble brag, but I don't know if Cam, what you say in conversation is indicative of what the kids are saying. No offense.
I ask my students, "Are you Gucci?"
Ah,
okay, there okay.
There you go.
I'd be like, "Hey, bro, are you Gucci?" Is everything all Gucci?
So you're the cool teacher.
I am the cool teacher.
He does things a little bit different.
Yeah. I think I've seen every 90s sitcom about the cool teacher who does things not by the book. Also, detectives don't go by the book. Teachers, there's a lot of professions. Mm-hmm. Doctors, it's popular on TV shows when doctors don't play by the book.
Yeah. I'm a very professional teacher. I follow every single rule to a T.
There you go.
I don't believe that at all.
Except he sits in the chair backwards.
Oh, yeah, because he's AC Slater.
Like in Dangerous Minds.
Yeah.
I was... I did... This is actually a pretty funny story. I did catch some fifth graders rolling dice.
Really? Did you join in?
Yes. I had to correct.
I was joking. You did join in?
Yeah. It's math.
It is math.
You got to make things fun.
You're trying to reach the kids on their level.
Exactly.
Man, Cam is a good teacher. I wish I had a teacher like Cam. I wish I had a teacher like Irish Cam. That's a whole other thing. Okay, ooh. Texans. Texans facing the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. We're not going to get into hype train, but I thought I'd throw in the hype train voice briefly. But Houston Texans traveling to the frozen tundra of the Minnesota Vikings Stadium, whatever that's called. There's no way to know. I'm not going to look it up. But a -2 favorite. I'm a little stressed about this game because the Vikings defense has been really good. I mean, Sam Darnold obviously is for his career. I mean, total ass, but he's played pretty well and he's seen the 49ers D'Amico Ryan style defense quite a bit. Both being on the team last year and then obviously last week facing the San Francisco 49ers. So it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do. But we're going to play a little game here. Are you stressed? Are we Gucci on some of these concerns I have about the Texans going into this game against Minnesota? And again, if you want to join in the conversation, give us your answers. Give us a call or text on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So first one, Are we stressed or are we Gucci about the Texans' running game without Joe Mixon?
I mean, you are down to Cam Akers. And Cam Akers...
You're saying that's a problem?
Well, it's just your third string running back, but...
You want to win, put Cam in.
There we go. You know what?
Did you really?
You know what? That rhyme? That rhyme?
See, now you're in?
We're Gucci.
Oh, we're Gucci! All right! Okay, so... I mean, obviously, Cam, you're feeling Gucci about this, right?
I like Cam Akers.
Until he fumbled?
Yeah.
We're Gucci.
We're still Gucci.
Oh, nice, AJ. Nice. You know what? I'm actually feeling Gucci about this as well. I mean, Gucci. Thank you. Man, AJ's on the ball today. We're going to replace John Belmer. John Belmer's not getting his job back.
They didn't have a run game last week, and they won, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. Look, I'm not going to take credit away from Joe Mixon because he was amazing in week one, but I do think at least half of the credit for how good the running game was in week one goes to the Colts basically playing two deep safeties as much as Mel Kiper wants to get rid of it.
My God. I know.
It's one of the worst takes I've ever heard. But, I mean, the Colts of course you do. You're a contrarian. thank you, Sean. But, I mean, the Colts basically told you, okay, we're not going to let Nico beat us, even though he did. Yeah. And we're going to let Joe Mixon run the game. Let's see if you can win the game that way. And the Texans ran it Mixon ran it for 149, and we know the end of that story. Next week against Chicago, obviously wasn't nearly as good, and Mixon gets hurt in the middle of the game. But Cam Akers, he's had a very up and down career because he's torn his Achilles twice, playing with the Rams and then with Minnesota. But he's a talented back, and again, like you said, Cam. Other than the fumble on the goal line, which sucked, he's looked good. He also looked good in preseason. So I think if the offensive line does your job and there are gains to be had in the running game, I have confidence that Cam Akers can get those gains.
If I'm not mistaken, Juice Scruggs is back too.
What was that hand motion?
Like a juice box. I don't know.
Is this because you got Instagram Live up? You got to be performative.
No, it's like a juice box.
I know what I heard what you said.
Yeah.
But why are we doing the performative with the hand signs here?
Oh, because it's, I don't know, juice. Juice. Pour up some juice. Juice is back.
Friday night cam is
BYOJ.
Is lit.
See? BYOJ.
BYOJ.
Bring your own juice.
All right. All right. So we're all Gucci on the running game.
Just to clarify, that is not what the listener appreciation party is about. It is not bring your own juice.
We provide the juice. We have lots of great sponsors here like Halal Guys. We got what are some of the other spots? Well, we got Philly Flats up here. Mm-hmm. We got Michael Carroll is bringing people in to wave at us. This is like a zoo right now. People walking in, waving at the monkey talking on the radio, or three monkeys in this case. But let's get to our next stressed or Gucci. Thank you, Michael Carroll. We always enjoy people. Bring more people in. This is fun. And I'm being actually sincere. I know that sounded sarcastic. That sounded very sarcastic, but I'm actually being sincere there. So next stressed or Gucci. The usage of Tank Dell. If you had Tank Dell on your fantasy team, I've got him in a couple, weren't very happy last week as he had -3 receiving yards in the game. Did have a nice run on a reverse end around, whatever. But were you guys stressed or Gucci right now on how Tank Dell has been used?
Stressed.
Go on.
I get the last 2 weeks, it's been kind of defensive games, and so you're going to target Nico the most because he's what Paul would say. He's not a wide receiver one, but
all due respect to Paul, he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver one.
He's the best receiver on the team, which is different than wide receiver one.
So.
Tomato, tomato.
But I do like the fact that they are letting him run the ball. I can appreciate that. But
even though he broke his leg in the run game last year,
he was blocking. He wasn't running.
I'm just saying. I don't say that to nitpick, but I've heard that concern. I mean, even from people in the station
is the guy not supposed to have the ball? What are we talking about?
I know. I agree with you. I think we've created I don't know what the comparison would be, but we've created a ton of rules for Tank Dell in our minds because he's like 5'6", 160, whatever, that he can only be used in this way, on this down, in this down and distance, like. He's got to be a football player still.
Yeah. It's also like he's getting involved in the run game on jet sweeps where, guess where he's getting the ball on the outside.
Yeah.
It's not like they're running dive for the fourth and one.
Once he catches the ball as a receiver, you know what he's going to do?
Run.
He's going to run with it. He's going to be tackled. Yes, I know. We can't wrap him in bubble wrap, but yeah, so Cam, you're a little stressed on his usage. Sean, where are you at right now with Tank Dell?
I'm not quite. I mean, obviously, I would like for him to be more involved, but I think that the way this Texans offense is going to run is that it'll just be different, especially the receivers. It'll be different guys week every week, and we just had two Nico Collins weeks. But I think if Tank Dell just catches the ball at what the little post that he was running.
Everything's completely different.
We're not talking about him. So I think ultimately I'm Gucci on Tank Dell's usage.
Love but, it.
Thank you. but I, yeah, I think that over time it's all going to come out in the wash. I still think Nico Collins is probably going to lead the team in the receiving.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
He's not wide receiver one, but he'll lead the team in receiving.
Okay, you don't have to you don't have to adopt all of Paul's strong takes here.
No, but I think that at the end of the day, there'll be games where Stephon Diggs eats, where Tank Dell eats. We've already seen great Nico Collins games. So I'm not stressed about Tank's usage.
Yeah, and I'm also not stressed right now. I think we're Gucci. I mean, for one of the things you brought up, Sean, I mean, thank you, AJ. If he catches that, what would have been a breakaway touchdown, which I think we all agree probably should have caught.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10.
9 times out of 10 he catches that. Maybe if he's, I don't know, 5'11", he catches it. I'm just saying.
Hey.
Not to take shots here. Oh, bad verbiage for Tank Dell. My fault. I shouldn't have said
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That was unintentional. Yeah. It was unintentional. I was running then too. Let's quickly get past my faux pas. Let's not.
I like to apologize to Tank Dell.
Yeah, let's not dwell on it. Okay, but if he catches that, like you said, we're ignoring everything else. Like, I mean, because he has that, and it's like what, like a 50-yard touchdown, and no one's talking about his receiving day. So yeah, I think I'm Gucci there as well. It's going to come back. I mean, remember when C.J. Stroud was making appearances on every single podcast in the world over the offseason, including that one with Micah Parsons where he had to draw his perfect offense? Who was the slot receiver? It was Tank Dell.
Yeah.
He's got a relationship with Tank Dell. He's got a connection. I think this is going to sort itself out. So, yeah, I'm not stressed there at all. A few more to get to before we get to the break. Actually, we might do one more and carry the rest over. But the Vikings defense, pretty spicy so far. George Kittle had a really good day against the Vikings defense last week. But they've been really good. And they were sneakily really good last year. I don't think anyone paid attention to it because the team overall didn't hit its goals, missed the playoffs. But we stressed or we Gucci about this Vikings defense the Texans will have to face on Sunday?
Can I say both?
No.
You'd have to explain it to me in a way that makes
sense.
That's
not the game.
That's not the game.
It's not stress, Gucci, or both.
It's not ride the fence like a bee. It's make your pick.
Fine.
Cam.
I will say that I am Gucci. I do want to emphasize that I think Minnesota's defense is very good. So initially I would have been stressed, but the Colts and Bears both have legit defenses and the Texans were able to walk away with two wins. So from that aspect, I guess I will go the route of Gucci. I think that the Texans will be Gucci.
Yeah, I think with CJ Stroud, you just have a level of confidence in this team that ultimately things are going to be Gucci. The Vikings have had a good defense this year, but I mean, half of the data that we're going off of is their game against Daniel Jones.
Yeah, right. Half of the info we have is against Vanilla Vic.
And then the other one is against... It's again. I'm just...
Don't do Michael Vick
that. You just push it past it. Ignore the man, yes.
And then the other one is against Brock Purdy and the 49ers, who... Can we ask between the game this year against the 49ers Vikings game this year and the 49ers Vikings game last year, does Brian Flores have Brock Purdy's number?
It could. And I heard you and Dell make this point where, and I know Dell obviously follows as close as a Dolphins fan, and Brian Flores obviously previously the head coach of the Dolphins, but he made a point a couple weeks ago where Brian Flores' offenses always, or defenses that is,
yeah,
always look really good against the Lambs.
Yeah.
But when he has to go up against the Wolf usually slaughters his defense. And we've seen that not just from Brian Flores. There are other defenses around the NFL that are really good at taking advantage of bad quarterbacks. But the good quarterbacks that can see through the tricks and pick you apart, especially when you bring those exotic blitzes that confuse guys like Daniel Jones, then you can pick them apart. And I think C.J. Stroud falls, obviously,
yes,
in the group of the latter of the Wolves that can pick apart a defense like Brian Flores. So, I mean, you do worry a little bit. We've seen the Texans' offensive line struggle with the twists and stunts up front, confusing the interior offensive linemen about passing off the rushers and making sure you have the correct guy. So I do worry about that a little bit. But if C.J. Stroud gets the time, I think he picks apart this Vikings defense. So I am not stressed either. I am very much Gucci. All right. Let's carry over more of the Texans conversation on the other side of the break. When we get back on the bullpen, the ESPN 97.5 Listener Party Edition, we will talk more Texans-Vikings, including ranking our revenge game motivation for all these Texans and Vikings facing their former team on Sunday. That when the bullpen returns on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the ESPN 97.5 Listener Party Edition of the Bullpen. And again, programming note, if you want more of the Bullpen, Sean, myself, and Cam, will be out live at LaBerge Casino in Lake Charles this Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon before the Texans kick off against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm sorry, Cam, you're crying in your beer there, although not a beer, it's a water, so it's infinitely more sadder, I think. But anyway, so make sure you tune in on Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon. We'll get you started before the Texans kick off. And if you want to join in the conversation, give us a call or text on the HRMP listener line. That is 713-780-3776. And you can reach us on social media. I am at Sack by BMAC. Sean is at Sean A. Mapes. And Cam Smith, Sad Cam Smith, is at Clutch City Cam. Or at Sad Clutch City Cam in the moment. But right now, we continue the Texans-Vikings conversation. I had a hot take this last week on the Killer Bees, 3-6, as I'm prone to do, especially on Tuesdays during Cash or Trash It. And I wanted to run this. You're making some groaning noise over there, Sean. You got something to say, Sean?
You ready to trash it?
All right, so my cash to trash this week was Texans related, and I wanted to run this by you guys, see what you think. So right now, we all know Texans 2-0, the rest of the AFC South 0-2, a combined 0-6, complete trash. Speaking of trash, I really think at this point, my preseason prediction was Texans to go 11-6, win the division. Mm-hmm. But after this start with the Texans and the rest of the division being so poor, I'm at the point now where I think the Texans just absolutely run away with this thing. So I'm actually moving the Texans up to 12 wins, and I think they win this division by six games.
Six games.
I don't think any other team in the AFC South.
You don't think there's going to be a 7-10 team?
No. I don't think there's a single team that wins seven or more in the AFC South besides the Houston Texans, who will win 12, I declare. Sean, Cam, what do you think?
Trash.
You calling me trash or the people trash? I felt a little direction.
Just trash. No, I'm going to trash this one. I just think it's too early to say that all the I mean six wins. You're picking in like the top 10, like in most NFL drafts.
Have you seen these quarterbacks? Terrible.
But they're just going to have to play each other at some point, and they're going to stack wins like that.
That doesn't get you to seven, though.
No, but they're going to win other games.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Indianapolis plays the Bears.
Anthony Richardson just lost to Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Like I mean, look. I know it's a recency bias thing, and I'm living in the moment.
You are living in the moment.
That's what I do.
I'm in 3008. You're 2000 late.
I remember the. Oh, are we God. On or off Anthony Richardson?
I thought I was the old man. No, I'm very much out. Well, Sean's still got a man crush. So he's probably in. What's
on
up, everybody?
Anthony?
Welcome to the ESPN 97.5 Listener Party. Thank you for coming out. enjoy the drinks. We can't drink right now. We're on air. So, you know, don't drink at all. We'll get something to get off air.
That's a bad influence.
On young AJ right there.
Yeah.
AJ, don't let these guys corrupt you.
24 more minutes.
No,
and I can
I don't like that talk at all. I look at this division. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is trash. Will Levis trash. Anthony Richardson can't beat Malik Willis, or complete a pass to Adonai Mitchell. I just don't see why I would expect, like, you're right, they're going to play each other, they're going to win some other games in theory, but I don't, like, if I were to look at their schedules, like, I don't know a lot of games I would pick any of these teams to win, so I don't see any of these teams getting to 7 wins besides the Texans.
I will say that either the Colts or the Jags are going to win 7 or 8 games. 7 or 8. I think they can go 8 and 9. Hot take. I think the second place team in a division will be slightly under 500.
I think the Jags can get to 7 wins. I mean, they have the most talent on that team. Eventually, Trevor Lawrence is going to win a game. But as far as the Colts and Titans, I don't have faith. I honestly do not care. That entire division can suck.
I do think that the...
Oh, God, that was very aggressive.
Can suck one. I do think that...
That went from 1 to 10 very quick. Irish camp. I didn't have you seen you have the half a beer yet. You're already being very aggressive. Here.
I think the Colts' next two games, the next three games, four games, they have Bears, Steelers, Jags, Titans, and then maybe two less Dolphins.
I don't think they beat the Steelers.
I think they do.
Who is this?
The Colts.
Colts, and then the Titans play Packers, Dolphins, Colts, Bills.
Titans. Yeah, Jordan Love might be back. They're saying he's game time decision.
I agree with BMAC that the Titans will not win 6 games.
Okay. No.
You think the Colts and the Jaguars do?
I think one of them is going to
find the Jaguars are going to start 0-3. They're at Buffalo this weekend. They're going to start 0-3.
Dumbass Will Levis with his mayo cologne.
So that would be the Jaguars go, if you're saying they get to 7 wins, that means they go, what is the math? I don't do math on the fly. They go 7-7 down the remainder of the games? I guess it's possible.
500 ball?
I don't know if that, man, I don't know if that's even a 500 football team.
Okay.
I mean, the Calvin Ridley out the door, they bring in Gabe Davis to replace him. Christian Kirk's done nothing. Evan Ingram's hurt.
So you're already counting down the Texans' magic number of 14?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I'm counting. Put it up on the board. We should be tracking it.
Get a whiteboard in here.
Yeah, right here. We got lots of empty space here on the wall. We should be tracking it.
Magic number.
Who clinches their division first, Texans or Astros? Sean.
Astros without a doubt. What are we talking about? Astros might win the World Series before the Texans.
I was trying to see as far as I could take it. All right, so I think we've exhausted that conversation.
Yeah.
Let's rate.
Keyword exhausted.
What?
See, I feel like, you know, the ESPN 97.5 listener appreciation party should be a time of fellowship and community, and you're attacking me, Sean, for my beliefs.
That's the third
you're
show.
Attacking me for my beliefs, Sean.
The third show I've done today. I have to hear about this nonsense that...
Hey, your work schedule isn't my problem, okay? All right, pal?
It is now.
It is now?
I'm making it your problem.
Okay, take that up with Joe George.
It's all our problem now.
All right, so let's rate the revenge game motivation. There's tons of guys on the field for Texans-Vikings on Sunday with revenge game motive.
Revenge in their hearts.
Revenge in their hearts. Revenge in their hearts, revenge in their soul. So Stephon Diggs, Jonathan Greenard, Blake Cashman, Danielle Hunter, Cam Akers. Less so.
Oh, Cam Akers last. Can I just get out of the way?
I mean, I don't know if Cam... I feel like we should defer to Cam on this because he is a Cam, and he decided to make that a personal
Cam's
thing from
holds
earlier
grudges.
In the show. Irish Cam certainly holds grudges.
As one Cam to another Cam, I don't think this man is worried about a revenge game.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
He played 6 games with the Vikings.
Yeah.
And had 100
carries. Or his Achilles. Blame Minnesota.
It's not their fault.
Yeah. Blame Minnesota. I do. I blame Minnesota for that.
Okay.
Do the Texans play the Rams this year?
No.
I was going to say, that would be more of a revenge game for Cam than
Sean McVay
Minnesota.
Did not like him.
No.
He was in his doghouse constantly.
He was also hurt all the time.
That might have played a part of why he was in the doghouse. Yeah.
Infirmary, doghouse.
You can't make the club from the tub. Am I right, Sean?
Damn sure.
What?
You never heard that?
No.
Come on. We now need a Mount Rushmore plus one of coaching cliches, which I think we've already done before, but there's a million more.
From
we
the
do.
Club to the tub?
You can't make the club in the tub.
Well, I beg to differ.
What does that even mean?
You can party in the tub.
Okay.
Get
all
some
right.
bubble bath going.
Okay. You think that's the way to make the right impression on the coaches is to have a bubble bath in the ice tub?
Not them. Me.
Okay. So impressing you gets them on the team. What team are they cutting on, Cam?
I was just saying that I can club in my tub. I'm not worried about the NFL players. I was just speaking for me.
Okay, so you night club in the tub.
I enjoy a nice shower here. I have a holder.
So you like a bubble bath and wine guy? Like some candles?
I can't technically take a bath because it's a shower.
No tub.
Not in this apartment.
Okay, so you're like a shower beer and chill guy? What's going on here?
Yeah, I have like I just put together these little shelves that go in my shower, and some of them have like my shampoos and everything. Yeah, and then
the shower stuff?
Yeah, the shower stuff.
So the shampoo went on the shower shelves?
Yes.
This is
weird, right? I know. Not on the ground. And then I have a little shelf that holds, it's not for beer, but for me it is. I didn't know what else to do with it, so I was just like,
This does fit Irish Cam very well. Revenge game motive, that's what we were talking about. So who has the most revenge game motive, Texans Vikings? Sean?
I think, and this might spell bad things for the Houston Texans.
Thank you, Pharrell.
but I think Jonathan Gannard. What, you think you're better than me because you got Danielle Hunter? He spells his name Danielle. Jonathan Gannard's going to break CJ Stroud's ribs. Right, Moff?
Now can I talk as Gabe Morency? I think that's the third.
That is a very deep cut.
That is a very deep cut. I don't think anyone here at the ESPN 97.5 listener party got
but
that.
But yeah, I think Jonathan Gannard has the most revenge.
Yeah, I mean, he was literally
interesting.
Another player in the field was literally chosen over him for his spot. So, exactly. The only other player I think could compete with the idea of most revenge in their heart would be Stephon Diggs. I mean, Diggs, obviously, as we talked about ad nauseum for months and months and months after he got traded here to the Texans, Stephon Diggs worked his way out of two teams, complained his way off of two teams. So, obviously, one of those was Minnesota going to Buffalo. He wanted to be the guy who wanted to get paid, and Adam Thielen at the time was the guy in the one getting paid. So, I think you can make an argument that Stephon Diggs might have, I don't know as much, but pretty close to the motivation Jonathan Gannard had. But, yeah, I think Jonathan Gannard's number one.
I think that's definitely the Texans-Vikings, I guess, shared history that's happening. The breakup that's probably has the most heat on Sunday, I would say, because I think...
You use the terminology I like.
I think the Vikings also think that they were done wrong. Or Vikings fans think that they're done wrong by Diggs asking out.
Yeah. You think he gets booed?
Probably.
I mean, he was obviously on the other.
He gave them the best moment in 21st century Vikings history.
He and Case Keenum with the Minneapolis Miracle.
But I still think he gets booed. That's just how things go.
Cam, you think he gets booed?
Yeah. For sure.
100%. Okay. All right. That was... Are you sure you haven't had half a beer with that giggle?
Yeah.
What's in that cup? All right, we got to get to break. ESPN it's Radio 97.5. It's damn right, Sean. We already passed up 5 o'clock here, so it's wide open for us. The alcohol is flowing here at the ESPN 97.5 listener party. We got lots of great sponsor and vendors out here. Apparently, like 250 fans. We've seen some of them come through the studio and point at us like bears in a zoo. We got about an hour and 15 minutes left on the show. And again, you can hear us again on Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon on the bullpen right before the Texans game. Sean, Joe, and I will be at Le Bourget Casino in Lake Charles, Louisiana. So we get back on the side of the break. We might get into some more Texans, Vikings, and also some NFL conversation, including which 2-0 teams will miss the playoffs and which 0-2 teams will make it. That when the bullpen returns on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, so fresh and so clean here at the ESPN 97.5 listener party. Sean Mapes, Cam Smith, myself, Brian McDonald, and our man AJ, the 17-year-old, I think we're breaking child labor laws here at ESPN Radio, behind the glass here producing tonight's show. Thank you. You're doing a great job, AJ, by the way, with all the Gucci drops. Appreciate it. So let's do some NFL talk here. I'm curious what you guys think. I think I mentioned the phrase, the very overused phrase in sports media, contender or pretender.
Yeah.
So let's do some of that left right now. Let's get some testosterone into this show and talk contender or pretender here on the bullpen. Yes, thank you, Cam.
Was that just a cough?
I don't know if that was a grunt or a burp.
I thought it was a cough.
It was a cough.
It was a cough? Okay.
It was a cough and clear.
But it was a cough with testosterone.
Yeah.
This is the team. I mean, his coach is Hard Dog, and his offensive coordinator is Giro. I'm supposed to wait till next hour to say it again.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's high testosterone football. I expect this from Cam Smith. So anyway,
thank you.
What 2-0 team to you guys is the most likely to miss the playoffs at this point?
Ooh, the 2-0.
I mean, 2-0 team.
It'd
be
easiest just to say the Saints, just because of how unexpected it is that they find themselves in this
position. I know, baby Coops, man, offensive coordinator.
That's kind of the crazy thing is I kind of think I buy into this.
I do too. I do too.
I buy into the Saints because they've just been so good.
A Kubiak and a Carr, what could go wrong?
Exactly. Okay. Chiefs.
Although Kubiak actually never coached Carr, so anyway.
He was like, first order of business, get this guy out of here. No, I mean, but to answer the question, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's just the AFC.
Yeah.
AFC is just, I expect to be pretty competitive, including the AFC North. The AFC North standings right now are basically flipped upside down, where you have the 0-2 Bengals, 0-2 Ravens, where those were thought of as the two best teams in that division coming into the season, and then you have the Steelers 2-0. So I think that's the one where I would be least shocked if in January we're talking about the Steelers missing the playoffs.
I'll go ahead and
pretender.
Pretender. We need a drop like pretender. Another pretender for me that's 2-0 that I think, because I think Steelers, you're probably right, are the number one. I'm not gonna say Chargers. Settle down.
I'll give you one.
Yeah. I believe in Hard Dog and Giro. I'm on board.
Harbaugh and Greg Roman.
I don't recognize who that is.
I'm saying that for the
people. Yeah, no, I know them as Hard Dog and Giro. I think it's the Seattle Seahawks. I know they're 2-0, and the division obviously has taken a little bit of a step back with all the injuries to the Rams. I mean, 49ers also very injured, but I think they'll be fine, especially when they get back Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle. The list is getting kind of long. But when you look at the Seahawks, okay, 2-0, but if you delve, you know, just a little bit deeper and look to who they played, I mean, they played the Broncos in week one. Bo Nix, rookie quarterback. It's been terrible. And they didn't win that game convincingly. They then go on the road to the team that was projected to be the worst team in the AFC, the Patriots. And they win the game, but they win it in overtime.
Yeah.
Like, they're 2-0, but they've struggled against arguably the two easiest games on their schedule.
BCS standings, they're not very
exactly
high.
So I think the Niners are gonna be better in that division, and I also think the Cardinals are gonna be better in that division.
Cardinals are feisty, man.
I think they beat the Lions this weekend, actually.
I was gonna say they have a hard one this week, but they've been pretty game so far.
This is tricky. I'm torn between Minnesota and Seattle. That was a good one, huh?
I liked it. It was a little Fargo, but I'll go with it.
I have to watch that show.
It was a surprise, but I think...
Yeah, I was definitely caught off guard by it, but I enjoyed it.
Thank you. I have a few friends from Minnesota, so I'd like to get the accent right for them, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So which one are you picking, though?
Oh, God.
You got to pick one. Don't sit on the fence again, Cam.
I mean, one of them's playing the Texans this week.
I'm going to go Minnesota. It's Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
How long is that going to last?
Maybe till Sunday?
Yeah.
And till 12 o'clock on Sunday?
Well, I mean, he'll probably have a little.
12:05, sorry. Okay.
I just think Seattle has more offensive weapons than Minnesota. And again, Sam Darnold. So,
yeah. It's funny because you mentioned the Saints off the bat, Sean. I definitely have more faith in the Saints than any of the teams we mentioned.
It's also the division that they're in is
that division. Winnable. I mean, obviously the Panthers are horrid, but is that division? I mean, last year it was terrible. The winning team, the team that won the division, the Buccaneers, got in it with 9 wins. I mean, the Saints are 2-0 and they've scored over 40 plus 40 points in both of their games. The Bucs obviously just went on the road and beat the Lions. And the Falcons obviously had to come back in Philadelphia this last week. Kirk Cousins looked a little bit healthier coming off that Achilles last year. Is the NFC South potentially a pretty spicy division outside the Panthers?
I think it's a solid division. I don't think it's some world. I think it's overstated how what the records are right now, like how impressive that the Saints have been. I expect them come back.
I mean, they smacked around the Cowboys
to
in
stop
Dallas.
Scoring 40 points every week. I expect the Buccaneers to come down to earth a little bit.
Although not this week, they're facing the Broncos.
I guess not.
Yeah, Buccaneers are getting to 3-0.
Yeah, but
that's crazy.
I think in general, but you compare that to the Bengals and the Ravens, like we think those teams are better.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think I think before the season we would have all said NFC South worst division of football. I think it's the AFC South.
I think the Bengals suck.
I'm ready to declare
that.
Yeah,
well, they're gonna have five combined wins other than Texans. So, yeah.
Damn right. I'm glad you're on board, Sean. All right, so let's flip it over to the other side of the conversation, and I want to get you guys to pick your team that's 0-2 that you still think rebounds and makes the playoffs.
I believe in the Ravens.
Yeah, that's the obvious dart throw. I mean, it feels way better than a dart throw, obviously.
Okay,
but
then,
uh-huh. No, you can pick them. I mean, tough game facing the Cowboys this week. I mean, they're
not allowed to pick an 0-2 team.
They're a 1-point favorite.
Not allowed to pick any of the AFC South teams.
You stop, either. Okay, Mopey. We stop.
Yeah, no. I mean, the Ravens. They obviously have won. They probably first must-win game of the season. Of any team.
Ooh, are we in must-win season?
I mean, if they go 0-3 and we're doing this segment next week about which 0-3 teams can make the playoffs, I'm not picking the Ravens.
September 20th and we already got must-win game season. I love it.
I kind of do disagree.
No, I don't disagree. 0-3. I don't want to say they're done, but they're
really
done.
They really need it this week. I think they're in Dallas, right? Yeah,
In Dallas. I believe that's correct. Yeah. Well, I know they're on the road week against the Chiefs,
yes,
and they're at home against the Raiders.
They are
last week.
At Dallas at 3:25 p.m. on Fox.
Okay, thank you. I'm not an old man needing the TV guide. Where's the location of the game?
You
thank
still
you.
Just the paper one.
I know I just turned 41, but I can find the game. Thank you. But they're a 1-point favorite on the road against the Ravens, so I do think that's a pretty good pick for the 0-2 team to rebound. Cam, who are you looking at as an 0-2 team that can rebound and make the playoffs?
The Ravens, because all the other 0-2 teams are absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
They're just really bad.
That's the other part.
Yeah, you look at the other 0-2 teams. I mean, you got the Broncos, nah. You got the Titans, nah. Jaguars and Colts, maybe you can make an argument there. Certainly you guys believe in the AFC South teams more than I do. The Giants are 0-2. There's no way. Panthers, same thing. Rams are
too
hurt. I mean, they've got Matthew Stafford and a bunch of AAA guys, to steal a baseball term. So, to me, it's Ravens or what? I mean, I think you could also say the Bengals. I know they lost last week to the Chiefs, but they look pretty why are you being so dismissive?
Pretenders.
Okay. All right, now you're speaking my language.
Shady. Joe Burrow looking like Slim Shady.
He looked more like Cody Rhodes. I have to steal the wrestling thing there. He looked more like Cody Rhodes. He needs to finish the story. You know what? He will finish the story. The Bengals are the 0-2 team that's going to rebound. T. Higgins is going to get back. Jamar Chase wants to prove he deserves the big money. I think the Bengals are going to rebound. I trust Joe Burrow more than Lamar Jackson in big game situations. I'll take the Bengals as a team to rebound.
They have Commanders on Monday.
Win.
And then they go to Charlotte.
Win.
Andy Dalton revenge game. Okay. I guess we're just marking that as a W for the Bengals.
There's 0-2, and then there's Carolina down here.
And then on October 6th, on Sunday at noon, on CBS.
Okay.
Check your local listings.
Thank you.
Check your local listings.
I'll find it. Thank you.
Loser go home match. Ravens. And go to Cincinnati.
Yeah, that definitely is a loser leaves town match. All right, I'm in on that. All right, we got to get to break on the other side when ESPN Radio, the bullpen returns. We're going to talk some college football. Cam, you got to leave us though, right? You got to go.
Beat it,
Cam.
I have to go be the face of the company.
Yeah.
Hi, Day One Donna's here. How you doing, Day One Donna? All the side of the break, when Sean and I return, because Cam's a loser, he's got to beat it. We're going to talk some college football and Arch Manning. Get out of here, Cam. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.